ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains podcast. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International and the president of Gospel Light Society University. We are going through the very intriguing book, Out of the Depths, an autobiographical study of mental disorder and religious experience by one of the pioneers of chaplaincy, Dr. Anton T. Boysen. This is episode number 85. Our scripture passage for today is Mark 2:17, which reads, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Our ordained chaplain's quote for today is from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, "Especially, judge not the sons and daughters of sorrow. Allow no ungenerous suspicions of the afflicted, the poor, and the despondent. Do not hastily say they ought to be more brave and exhibit a greater faith. Ask not why are they so nervous and so absurdly fearful. Know I beseech you, remember that you understand not your fellow man." Beloved, in this episode and in this podcast, we will continue discussing and dealing with the intriguing and rather deep book titled Out of the Depths by Dr. Anton T. Boysen. We continue today with Chapter 4, A Little Known Country, Part 34. And it may be a little known country, but it's taken us a long time to get out of this country. Anyway, in the course of my negotiations for release, I wrote to my old teacher, George A. Coe, under whom I had done my major work at Union Seminary. I had hoped that as a specialist in the psychology of religion, he might be able to help. The following letter, written in longhand, is one of many I have received from him. He followed closely all subsequent developments. Every reprint of an article of mine which I sent him was acknowledged with painstaking and illuminating criticisms, although at this time he had no suggestions to offer. I still count him among the great teachers to whom I am most indebted. This letter reflects the attitude of many leading psychologists and theologians of that time toward the problem of mental illness. Thousand Islands Park, New York, September the 1st, 1921. Dear Mr. Boysen, I have read your letter with keenest interest. It sounds just like you and I have difficulty in thinking of you as ever losing your poise. If only I knew about mental disorders to diagnose them, I would gladly put my knowledge at your disposal. but I touch the subject at the outer fringes only, and then very, very little. In fact, since you were at the seminary, I have been giving only diminishing attention to it, my energy is being fully absorbed in the topics of religious education and the psychology of religion. In general, 2, my views of mental disorders, as far as I have views, tend in the physiological direction. I can see how mental habits can be formed, and I realize that habit is a large part of neurasthenia. But the question remains, why just these habits in the neurasthenic and opposite habits in the normal person? The environment being practically the same. If the attacks from which you have suffered are, as appears, rather severe, then your physicians are probably right in assuming a physiological route, even though the process whereby a given content arrives is that of suggestion. The fact that the specific physiological route has not been discovered hardly decreases the probability that there is one. I speak thus freely because you are so cool and objective yourself. I am glad that you have the disposition to face all the facts and that nothing needs to be concealed. I sincerely hope that you will soon be a free man again. Meantime, how much you have to be thankful for, especially in addition to skilled medical help. The interesting and important work of institutional photographer. I wonder whether you will go on to microphotography of diseased tissues. This letter will bring you little of the help I would like to extend to you, but it is weighted with agreeable memories and hopes for the happiest outcome of your trouble. Please let me know after a while how it fares with you. Cordially, yours, Dr. George A. Cole. Beloved, in our next episode, we will continue with part 35 of chapter 4, A Little Known Country. Let's pray. Holy Father God, give wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight to professional counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, pastors, and others on how to deal with this issue that we call mental illness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life, and that I have broken your commandments, and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.